All right. Welcome back to this week's edition of the Rock and Roll Ghost Podcast. This week we have renowned, acclaimed musician, singer, songwriter, Jeff Pizzotti from Naked Ray Gun. He's here to talk about the band's new album on Wax Trax, which is actually pretty cool. I was just in the middle of listening to it another time when I saw that you were on. I had just started it. So, because I listened to it a couple of times and I listened to it this morning. I'm like, let me listen to one more time before the interview. And then I saw you were on and I'm like, okay, well, turn that off.
Came out a little early, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that works for me. I'm glad I noticed it because, I work during the day. So it's like, I just kind of keep tabs on everything. But you doing okay today?
Doing good, yeah. Thanks.
You're good, good. It's a pretty nice looking piano you got behind you.
My mom's baby grand, yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you know how to play?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You can fake it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Over the Overlords. You recorded this while Pierre was still with you guys. You know, what does it mean to be able to put this album out in like memory, I guess, you know, of him and just as, and also as another, you know, notch in the Naked Ray Gun belt, so to speak.
Well, we're happy that he's on it. He wrote two songs on it as well, but really happy to be played on it. He was at the studio probably more than any of us. He really put in a lot of time mixing and watching the overdubs and everything, but we're glad he's on it. We're really glad he's on it. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have had changing lineups over the years. Where are you at right now with regards to going forward?
With Pierre, we had the 1990 lineup, but Bill Stevens on guitar, Pierre on bass, Eric Spicer on drums, and me on vocals. But now we have a different bass player. We have Fritz Correa on bass. He's a great, he's a great backup singer, and plays bass really well too. And we're happy to have him.
Yeah, how does it feel to have gone through so many changes over the years? As a band.
The changes happen very slowly, you know. It didn't happen all at once. Once in a while, a member would leave and get a new member, so it seemed to be really kind of casual more than abrupt, you know. It was more like a nice progression of people through the band, but we're happy to have everybody who played in the band. I think they're great people.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit of how the album got started. Did you have a bunch of stuff that you had kind of worked on or the band had worked on and decided to demo it, or did you just go into studio and record it? How did that all work?
Well, originally we wanted to release the singles that were on Riot Fest Records. There were three singles on Riot Fest Records throughout the 2000s, 10s, and they weren't very well distributed. They had good B-sides too. And once we recorded a couple songs and go with those, we thought, well, why don't we just record all new songs? So when we started recording a big project, and we took a long time to do it, but we finally got it done. And most of the songs were written in the last 2 years of release of the record. One song was written way before that, though. It was a Tart song, Bill's earlier band, around in that year 2002 or something. But most of the stuff is newer, and we recorded it, ran out of money a couple times, and had to scrape up some funds and go back in and finish it off. But we like it. We like how it's been mastered, too. The guy who mastered it is really good, and I think it's turned out really well.
Yeah, it's a very it's got that punch that you guys are known for, but there's also this kind of I hate to use the word sheen, but it's got a nice full sound to it. You know, it seems like a lot of care was taken to master it.
Yeah, it really has a big punch to it. It's not lo-fi at all. Not lo-fi Dead Kennedys at all. You know, it's really super, super anything we could squeeze out of the board we did. So we like it that way, at least for now.
Yeah, yeah. And over the years, the band's sound has remained somewhat consistent, although you've had different flavors and over the years. But what does it mean to still be in Naked Ray Gun after all these years?
That's great. You know, people still like us and come up to us and say how important we were in their childhood and their growing years, and we saved their life and saved their teenage years, and it wouldn't be the same without us. So it's a really, really nice thing to hear. And we still think we're current. We still think we got something to say, and people really need to listen to us. But really happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah. Well, what I mean, you do a lot of music stuff. You do a lot of solo stuff. But what do you do besides music? Do you have to do you have any other hobbies that people might not know about?
I have tons of hobbies. Right now, I'm fixing up our 1865 house, built in 1865. It's a small little farmhouse slash mansion that somebody built in town here, down in Amboy. It's a wonderful place. It's really big. It has a bunch of extra rooms we don't really use. We're trying to finish them off. And every day, right now I'm working on the shutters, for example, they keep falling apart on me. But the house looks really nice. It needs a lot of love, so it took a lot of money to get it up to speed. But we'll never get our money back out of it. No one pays this much for a house in this town. But we're going to live here for a long time, so we like it. And my fiance rehabilitates wild animals. She's a wild
animal. Yeah, I saw that.
License to do that. She does raccoons, but right now we have three possums in the house, and she does squirrels too as well. Squirrels need help as well. She has a lot of raccoons though in spring. And I have a lot of hobbies. I play Warhammer 40K. I have a slot car track. I have a number of board games. Right now, we're really playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
Good game. So I'm trying to be a very vicious game.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that board games are still being sold. I would figure that people would have gotten like past it, but they're still popular. I guess people still want to interact with one another.
Some classic board game like Stratego will never go away, you know?
Yeah. I remember as a kid, like, that was a big thing to do with the family. Like, you know, spend an evening playing board games. And I just, when I went into like a Target or whatever recently, and I wandered past the toy department, I was like, well, let's see what toys are being sold for, you know, I'm like 50, so I have no idea what kids are into anymore. So I'm like, oh, there's board games. Wow. It's like, I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, there's a great game called Gusher no one's ever heard of. It's about discovering oil in the oil field. It's really fun. Cool's got this piece of wood that move in between these pieces of cardboard. It's like a case, you know. You shake it up at the beginning of the game, you don't move it, and then of course, these pieces of wood, if you hit them with this little plunger gusher thing, then so it looks like you're sprouting oil, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
Really, really basic, but it's really, really good game.
I haven't heard of that, but that's, you know, that's kind of like, that's kind of a classic, you know, make something out of virtually nothing, you know, and somebody will be entertained by it, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you talked about your fiance with the raccoons. I just had read about the raccoons. I didn't realize you would, guys has moved into possums and squirrels. What made you, what her and you, I know you help out, make that leap to helping out other animals?
So I just came over with a couple cats, I think originally, and we adopted one of them and the other one we couldn't save. And then it's kind of started from there. She got in touch with a couple rehabilitators in the area and learned from them, and he came interested in taking a couple of raccoons. First year, we took about 3 or 4 raccoons. Next year, we took about 7 or 8. Next year, we took about 50.
Yeah.
Wow. Now we're up to who knows what. This means tremendous because a lot of rehabilitators in the area have retired for one reason or another. They're not doing it this year, and I don't know what that's going to look like in the spring. It's looking like a big deluge of raccoons coming our way, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, wow. What are some takeaways that people don't know about having to take care of raccoons? I mean, because I know some people keep them as pets. I see a lot of people, you know, feeding them, you know, and stuff. But
yeah, you really can't have one in Illinois as a pet. They're better off being wild. They're really wild animals. Once they hit about 2 years old, you wouldn't want them as a pet. They get really pretty wild up, you know. They start destroying things in your house. So fun until then. But people, we get a lot of those rehabs too. That you try to, you know, what, you know, like a domesticated animal, you have to try to make them wild again. It's very difficult, and really people shouldn't do that because it's really a problem.
Yeah. So just don't take in a stray.
It's called Rehabilitator. It's Rehabilitators in every, because every state in the nation. You can call any Rehabilitators anywhere. They'll gladly take them from off your hands and rehabilitate them.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's something I didn't really know about, I guess, until recently. It's kind of fascinating. Well, you know, what kind of plans do you guys have to promote the album at this point?
Well, I'm doing an awful lot of interviews, and I think Wax Trax is taking on a full-page ad and a couple of fanzines, but they're online or they're actual hard copies. But we're working the internet. We have some people who work the social networks all the time and pump it up. We have NRME on Facebook. It's NRME, pretty popular site. A lot of people go on that, find out what's going on with the band. As well as we have a website too, but all our merchandise is handled through anxiousandangry.com. Yeah, they're the ones who handle off with their heads merchandise, but all our merchandise is handled through them, and we activate a lot of decent amount of hits on that.
And try to
keep our hands in.
It is performing something in your mind at the moment, or is that kind of something you're not thinking about?
I would like to play at least one a couple more times if I can manage it. I'm pretty ill, but it goes day to day with me. So some days I could easily do it. Some days it'd be possible to do it.
It's hard to book things.
Yeah, it's hard to like level it out. If it levels out a little bit, maybe play some live shows, maybe locally. Yeah, it'd be nice to play.
Yeah, you just kind of need to have it, you know, sync up at the right time.
Plus, it takes a long time to practice for a show. You know, I got to get my voice back in shape, and Eric's got to get back in shape, and Bill's got to get in shape, and Fritz is probably already in shape. He's a young guy, but it takes a lot to get my voice in shape anyway. It's a lot, like at least 2 weeks of hard singing, you know, because you have to sing a full set. And I can sing one song pretty well, but full set, I gas out.
How are you doing in general, though? You're doing pretty well with everything, or?
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Steady.
You steady sometimes, yeah. Sometimes a little shaky.
Yeah.
A little bit of territory.
It's
battle. It could be a lot worse.
Yeah, no, it could. I try telling myself that, you know, anytime like I get down about anything, like anything, you know, just, you know, things could be different, you know.
Yeah, sure could be.
Yeah. So basically, you know, the idea is you make music when you're kind of up to performing as far as recording, I'm gathering, right?
Recording is easy because you can hit anytime, you can hit any state. Right. You know? Just lay down. I have a wonderful chord keyboard. It makes any sound in the world, practically. It makes all the orchestra sounds, all the flute sounds, all the saxophone sound is really a wonderful instrument. It makes all the ethereal sounds. It makes all the, it's a sampler, so it'll sample sounds you put into it and play them back on any note. It's really cool. So I have that machine, and I have a drum machine, a real simple drum machine. I have one from the 80s. Believe
it or not. Oh, nice.
But I like how it sounds. You know, it sounds just cheesy enough to be good. And, But I've recorded at least that new, at least that solo thing a couple Aprils ago. It turned out pretty well.
Cool, very cool. Yeah, I wanted to say that I got to finally see you perform a while back the Foo Fighters show at Wrigley. I got to see you perform, and that was a great show because it had just so much going on. Number one, but you know I kind of got into you guys way, way late, you know, in terms of like, you know, like I kept hearing about like this great Chicago band called Naked Ranger. I'm like, I don't know anything, you know, it's like I just kind of found my way to you guys at some point because I was kind of a dork in high school. It took me until like senior year to finally get into anything that was alternative, really.
It's okay, at least you did it.
Yeah. But I like that. I like the fact that you know, especially nowadays, you can go back and listen to almost anything. You know, it's a lot easier to get music nowadays. I mean, I know it's not all great for the artist in terms of streaming, but
It's a lot like binging on Netflix, you know? You can go back and listen to all of it at once.
Yeah. No, it's just cool that, you know, you could never stop learning, I suppose. You know, like I've gotten into jazz in the last several years, and that's like, well, I could just go and look into, you know, whatever. I can pour through anything at this point, you know?
Right.
Yeah, before you'd have to, like, find somebody that knew something or read a bunch of books or... And now you can just kind of sample. It's great. But that's one of the pleasures has been getting to kind of, you know you. But I don't remember. Did you, there was a concert in the 90s for Lounge Acts that, I forget if it was Shellac or Big Black reunited. Was that Big Black or you guys never reunited?
Big Black reunited for a concert for Touch and Go.
Oh, okay. Was that like the hideout thing?
We played outside.
Yeah.
With the what the thing did you say?
Hideout, I think. The hideout?
Yeah, it was a hideout. It was originally a hideout thing, right? And Touch and Go kind of glommed on the event. We played live there once, so I played for that.
Okay, so that I must have been thinking about Shellac. It's been so long in my, you know, I've seen so many concerts and my brain's a bit addled, so.
I think Shellac might have played there too.
Yeah, that might have been. But now that I was thinking of this back when they were trying to save Lounge Acts, there were some shows, I think, at the Congress or something.
No,
like,
we didn't play any of those, Steve, no.
Yeah, I knew Steve was involved. I just couldn't remember which one it was, Shellac or Big Black.
So, Big Black never played there when I was with them. I never played Lounge Acts. Nigga Rigga never played Lounge Acts. I spun records there once. That's about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, God, just the amount of music, the fact that you've been in two iconic bands, you know, especially, and I know people still discover Big Black to this day. That reminds me, I'm sorry, and I don't want to take you too much more of your time.
Okay.
But I did hear, the new album has a remix by Paul Barker of Ministry fame, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, how far back do you go with Paul, and how did that remix come about?
I personally don't know Paul at all, but the Wax Fest people knew him and thought it would be a good thing for him to do, remix that song kind of evil-like. It sounds pretty good. I like it, and so we stuck it on the album. Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, that's interesting that you know all the big Chicago guys, all those years you didn't really ever connect, and there he is remixing a song of yours on the new album. That's great.
Yeah, I met the drummer for Public Image.
Atkins. Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He lives in Chicago with his family.
Yeah. No, definitely. He's a cool dude. Is there anything else I'm leaving out about the new album that you want to touch on, or?
Well, we kind of mixed it, kind of. Sequence it almost like an A side and B side of an album.
Yeah.
We think it's like lends itself to vinyl play, and keep that in mind when you play it. Sounds good that way.
Are you selling vinyl copies?
Yes, we are. We're selling a lot of vinyl. We sold out of the colored vinyl immediately.
Yeah.
I think we sold out of the black vinyl now, but I think we're going to press some more. The vinyl just got pressed recently, actually, because it took so long. Vinyl is in scarcity in the United States, I guess, but then we got on the list and got it pressed, so that's a good deal. People starting to email me telling me they got the colored vinyl and the black vinyl. That's good.
Nice. And if that's available, that's for sale on your website?
It's available at Wax Tracks for sure. And it should be on our website as well, but it's on Wax Tracks website for sure.
All right, I'll dig around when I post the interview. I'll post the link so people can buy the stuff. So
I'll check
you guys out. Yeah. All right, well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time today, and I hope you continue to do well, and I wish you good luck with everything, okay?
Thanks, man.
All right, you have
appreciate
a good
it. All Peace right. out.
Bye.
Bye.